ॐ ध्यायामो धवलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीमदसिक्तसूक्तिं नम्रतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। Yeah, we'll discuss the next few sutras of Narada Bhakti Sutra. So we will discuss the 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th and 19th five sutras today. So yesterday, like last day, like we saw that Narada explained that even after a person realizes or a person becomes a true devotee, he should still stick on to devotional activities that should continue. Else, there is a chance that a person is not a devotee. He thinks he is a devotee, but he is not a devotee and he will fall down. Now Narada like enters into the lakshanas of bhakti, or as to what characteristics of bhakti, so different views about the characteristics of bhakti. So the next sutra Narada says, tallakshanani vachyante nana mata bhedat. So tat lakshanani means the lakshanas. So tat, bhakti's lakshanas, vachyante, tell. People tell nana mata bhedat. So different opinions are there about the characteristics of bhakti. So bhakti is defined or explained in different way by different people, different acharyas. So that is what Narada is trying to explain in the next few sutras. So bhakti can be defined in many ways. So even as Brahman, the Advitiya Satyam or Ishvara can be explained in n number of ways. We can explain Ishvara, like one person will be able to explain Ishvara in one way, another person will be able to explain it in a different way. So the various scriptural statements, or all the scriptural statements, they speak about the Atman. They speak about Brahman, but still each of them speak about it in a different way. So world is made up of duality, therefore Brahman or Ishvara can also be explained in different ways, but it all has to merge on to Parama Premam or Supreme Love. So Narada is not telling here that his definition of pure love, Parama Premam, Supreme Love and Amritam, that means Advitiyam, a person constantly contemplating on Ishvara, on Ishvara Chinta always there in a person's mind, that is not being negated by Narada. So Narada is not kind of reverting back his statement, but he is just telling that bhakti itself may be defined in different ways. So here what is the defined or definition is with respect to external actions or externally, how can we know a person is a bhakta? So when we see bhakti's lakshana of bhakti, so lakshana itself means that as to how can I know a person is a bhakta, how can I know for myself that I am a bhakta? So there are some traits to it, even as there are traits for many things. So people who hippies grow their hair, so that's one of the characteristics. Sannyasis grow their beard. Of course, few sannyasis are there who cannot grow beard because it doesn't grow. That's a different case. Okay, don't ask if such a sannyasi exists. Yes, Jnana Amritanandapuri, one of Amma's sannyasi disciple, he doesn't have a beard because he is very young. So that's also there. But generally, beard is one of the traits of a sannyasi. So jatilam or matted lock, that's one of the traits of some sannyasis. So there are traits, avadutas or people are people, avadutas are people who don't wear any clothes or just wear one loin cloth. So that is the trait. So similarly, there are traits for everything in the world. Similarly, for bhakti also, there are traits. So ultimately, bhakti is, we have to remember, Narada is not trying to contradict or revert his statement of parama premam and amritam. So it is just that the way we can attain parama premam, that is being defined by different acharyas in different ways. We can go on trying to criticize the acharyas that are mentioned by Narada and say, oh, these are not right, and Narada alone is right. Finally, Narada gives his own opinion as well. So it's like telling, okay, I can give the various views of Advaita Vedanta that are there, and then I can say, oh, I don't think Jiva is Pratibimbam, I don't think Jiva is Abhasam. So Jiva is said to be Pratibimbam, Jiva is said to be Abhasam, Jiva is said to be Avachedam. And then finally I can say, okay, none of this is true, but Jiva is Brahman alone. So we just have to understand that each of these characteristics or definition that acharyas give, that will help us in attaining parama premam. So getting that supreme love, so getting that supreme love, in order to get that supreme love, we will have to do some activities, some traits are essential. So each of these acharyas give a particular trait. When all those merge together, then we will get Narada's definition of bhakti, which would lead us to parama premam. So I think in the PDF it is para premam. So para premam is also sattu asmin para prema rupa. So parama premam is also fine. Para premam is also fine. Para premam means other. One of the meaning of para premam would be other love, or supreme. Param means supreme, param love. Or parama premam, parama pavani, that's one of the names we can find in Amma's songs. So that is also fine. So maybe I don't know which one is the right word there. Probably para premam is right, now parama premam is not right. So I just noticed it now, so maybe that's my mistake, that the wrong word. It doesn't matter, ultimately it means supreme love. So in order to get that supreme love, the next four views of Bhakti Acharyas, so Narada is quoting here Bhakti Acharyas, their definition of what is Bhakti, how we can know a person is a Bhakta, how I can know I am a Bhakta, we can see that in the next four sutras. We have to remember that, oh, how can I know somebody is a Bhakta? Oh, let me judge if this person is a Bhakta. Let me judge whether Amrita Swarupananda is a Bhakta. So that is not what these are meant. The scriptures are not meant for analyzing or judging others. The scriptures are meant for our own well-being, or trying to understand, trying to find out where we stand with respect to the truth, where we stand with respect to bliss, which is the real aim of life. So that is what we have to remember. So the next, in the next sutra, Narada gives the opinion of Parashara, Parasharyam. Parasharyaha, Parashara is Parashara's son is called Parashara. So Parashara Muni's son is Vedavyasa. So Puja Adishu Anuraga iti Parasharyaha. So Parashara, Vyasa says that Puja Adishu Anuragam. So Anuragam means love or dear attachment, very dearly attached, we can say strong attachment or love. Puja adishu, to puja, etc. So various ritualistic actions with respect to bhakti, so puja archana, all those activities, puja, archana, bhajan, etc., those are such activities, ritualistic activities, activities which require the external body. So those are the activities. So Vedavyasa says that bhakti is love towards such ritualistic activities. So the next is Kata Adishu iti Gargaha. So Gargaha, Garga is a muni that is mentioned in some of the Upanishad, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So Garga says that Katha Adishu Iti. Katha Adishu, towards Katha. So towards Katha, what towards Katha? Anuragam, or love towards Katha. So Katha Adishu means love towards story. Story means hearing to stories, or Vaibhavam, Ishvara Vaibhavam. So the Puranic stories, Puranic incidents, the Vaibhavam, the Mahatvam, etc. of Ishvara, towards that is Bhakti. So Bhakti, as per Garga, Bhakti is towards stories or Vaibhavam of Ishvara, attachment towards that. So that means as per Parashara or as per Veda Vyasa, a person who is indulging in puja and other ritualistic actions, he is a bhakta. As per Garga, it is a person who is interested in listening to the stories, to the glories, Mahatvam, Vaibhavam, etc. of Ishvara. He is a bhakta. And last, Shandilya. So there is a Shandilya Bhakti Sutra as well there. So Shandilya is another bhakti acharya. So Shandilya Atmarat. Atmarati avirodhena iti shandilyah. So activities, anuragam or love, which is atmarati avirodham. Atmarati means the bliss of the atman. Avirodham, which doesn't contradict. So any love that doesn't contradict, that doesn't obstruct self-bliss or rejoicing in self-bliss, that is bhakti. So this means that anything that helps a person in enjoying this bliss of the Atman, bliss of the self, eternal bliss, that is bhakti. So never letting go of eternal bliss, that is bhakti. So here, like as I said earlier, we can here argue as to all these views are wrong, but all these views are not wrong. Narada is just giving out those various views, and even as Shankara brought all the cults that are there in the scriptures, he brought them all together and put them into Advaita Vedanta, the bucket of. Similarly, Narada here is giving various views, all of which are essential in getting supreme love towards Ishvara. So how can we get supreme love? So supreme love, as Ramana Maharshi says, supreme love, as Ramana Maharshi says about Pujanam Japas Chintanam Krama Kaya Vangmana Karya Muttamam. Pujanam Japas Chintanam Krama. So Kaya Vangmana. So activities can be done with respect to Kayam, Shariram, Vak, Word, Verbal, and Mind, Manasam or Manasikam. So those activities, so one is Kaya. With Shariram, what activities can we do? Puja is one of the best activities that a person can do with Shariram. So Puja means what? Puja doesn't mean that, oh, we stretch our legs, we put our legs here and there, lie down and then do Puja. That's not Puja. Puja means we use our body in the right way. We take a bath. We use our body to do offer Abhishegam. Offer like Agarbhati, offer the various ritualistic actions to Ishvara. So that means with the body, like we use the body that has been given to us. We don't use the body for other things. We use the body basically or mainly for Ishvara Chinta, Ishvara Upasana. So bodily actions are Puja, and Vak or verbal activities Archanam. It is Puja Adishu Anuraga. Ritualistic actions, Puja, Archanam, etc. come under the same category. And then with respect to the mind, what can we do with the mind? We can do Chintanam. We can remember Ishvara. The simplest way to remember Ishvara is when we are constantly listening about Ishvara. The simplest way a person can learn a bhajan, and if the book is in front of us, we will not learn the bhajan. If somebody is singing in front of us, we will immediately understand it. So there are many people who say, oh, I can't read and understand things. If somebody explains it to me, I can understand better. So, mental activities with respect to Katha, Dishu, hearing to the various stories or the glories of Ishvara, that is the mental manasika action. So, Kaya, Vang, Mana, all those activities are essential. But we have to remember that all these activities have to help us in eternal bliss, rejoice of bliss. So that is where Shandilya's definition comes. So there are many people like Jains. Jains are people who torture their own body, saying that that is the path, that is the spiritual path. The various sects in Christianity, some sects who torture their own body because they have committed sin. So so letting oneself suffer, that is not Vedanta's goal. That is not what Vedanta says. That is not what bhakti also means. Bhakti means a person, like we can say, a bhakta like surrenders everything onto Ishvara, like the Shaivite bhakta who cut his eyes, like when he saw the Shiva bhakta, when he saw that Kannappan, when he saw that Ishvara, Shivalinga didn't have one eye, he cut his own eye and placed it to Shiva. So there it's not torturing himself that helps him get ananda. He becomes blissful when he does that. But in most of the cases, what we see in the world, like activities for Ishvara, oh, Ishvara wants this, therefore we have to kill people. So that is not what Ishvara wants. Ishvara wants what? Ishvara wants us to be happy. So that means doing all these sadhana, puja, katha, etc., kaya, vang, mana activities, all those should in no way stop us from enjoying bliss, getting ananda. So ananda matmarati, or rejoicing in one, the bliss that we get out of remembering Ishvara. Ishvara chinta brings the bliss to ourselves. Each moment we contemplate on Ishvara, each moment we think about Ishvara, anandam, ananda vardhanam, anandam will increase. It will flow out, it will start flowing towards each and every part of our body. So many people, like long ago, there was a time when people used to doubt or think as to why Amrita Swarupa Ananda, if we look at his old picture, he is very, very lean. So how has he become so fat? Does he eat quite a lot? Maybe, I don't exactly know, so cannot say, but that cannot be the reason, because in Amma Smart, like most of the time, people don't eat. And even if he wants to eat, he'll not have enough time. He has a lot of responsibilities on his shoulder, therefore he cannot eat that much. Then why or how has he become fat? Or for that matter, take Amma itself. Amma was thin. Amma was not as fat as she is now. So how did that happen? So if we look at Ramana Maharshi in his teens or in his 20s and in his 70s or 60s, whenever last few years, we can see that he himself became fat. So how is that? So that is because ananda vardhanam, anandam, like, okay, don't start telling that, okay, you are, oh, I am getting blissful day by day because I am getting fat. So that's not the case. But anandam, when bliss increases, generally somewhere it has to go. So somewhere it has to go, it will go into the body. Of course, we can see Balakrishna Nair is still the same as he was years ago. In some cases it may happen, some cases it may not. But the fact is anandam. Day by day we remember Ishvara, Ishvara Chinta. As Ishvara Chinta increases, Ananda Vardhanam will happen. So all these actions, like some Acharyas just saw one perspective of the truth. They explained bhakti from one perspective, missed out other perspectives. Whether they missed out or not, it doesn't matter. We can argue that they missed out and say they are wrong, but that's not how a sadhaka should approach bhakti. A true bhakta will ignore whatever doesn't seem right for him. He will not criticize it, he will just ignore it and continue. So it's like telling, okay, we are driving on the road, So while we are driving on the road, like we see a branch on the side of the road, or let's say the branch is on the road in India, many cases the branch is on the road. So what would we do? Would we like just worry about who brought this branch? Of course, there are people who do that. Where did this branch come from in the first place? I want to know. I want CBI to investigate as to where did this branch come from. All those are done. But it's like a person who wants to reach the goal, a person who wants to reach Rhode Island will say, oh, let me show this branch off and proceed. So that is what we, a sadhaka, and we also should do. Just ignore whatever contradicts and this can go continue. So all this puja, katha, atmarati, avirodham. So these are simple words to remember. One is puja adishu, kaya vang, and then katha adishu, so manaha, and then atmarati avirodham. So this is where we have to clearly understand that we may go for katha. There are many people who will go for Bhagavatam discourses. Oh, how was Bhagavatam after the Bhagavata Saptaham? How was Bhagavatam? Yeah, it was good. The food was too good. Now, this is not a joke. Like many people say that. Like they'll say, okay, how was Bhagavatam? Oh, the food was too good. Oh, you met Amma. Like, how was it? But how was the retreat? Yeah, they served really good food. That is what many people, you won't believe, but that has happened long ago itself. Like whenever we used to go, we used to have arguments. Like we used to go in a van full of people, but there some people would want rice, some people will want Western canteen, some people will want specific Western canteen, some people want Western canteen delivered into their lap or their mouth if possible. So that wouldn't happen, therefore at least that was avoided. So we have to remember that any of these activities, any of bhakti actions or bhakti, whether it is bhakti or jnanam, it doesn't matter. Any activity that has to help us in anandam, that shouldn't obstruct anandam. So all these three definitions, puja adishu anuragam, katha adishu, atmarati avirodham, all three are required for bhakti. But Narada puts these three together and gives a very beautiful definition. So Narada says, Naradastu tadarpita kila acharata tadvismarane parama vyakulata iti. Parama vyakulata cha is also reading in some places. So Narada tu. So tu word would mean, but Narada says, but tu also can be interpreted that, oh, all these are right, but like Narada thinks that this is the one. Oh, Brahman is can be achieved through neti. Brahman is anandam, but I think everything is Brahman. So all the three explanations of, Brahman is anandam, that is also valid. Brahman is neti, that's also valid. But sarvam brahmamayam, that means that it includes the other two as well, and it is a proper or complete definition. So here Narada gives two, which we have already discussed, I guess, but Narada gives two aspects to bhakti. So one is tat arpita akila acharata. Akila acharata. Akila acharata means doing all actions, tat arpita, offering it to Ishvara. So all actions, offering all actions on to Ishvara, and so that means at all times offering actions to Ishvara. Tad vismarane, when Ishvara is forgotten, parama vyakulata cha. Vyakulam, the mind becomes really very sad. So vyakulam, sad, sorrow is not the right word there. The vyakulam is the state that the gopis were. When they couldn't see Krishna, they will get really vyakulam. The mind will become really vyakulam.
Restless,
we can say, in a way. We are restless. So the best example for vyakulam is fish in land. So when the fish in land will be struggling to get one breath of air, similarly that should be the case. So offering all activities on to Ishvara and becoming really restless, vyakulam, parama vyakulam, supreme vyakulam to its peak, when Ishvara is forgotten. So restlessness means that what would a fish which is in land do? Will it say, oh, I am in land. Oh, how did I come in land? It won't say any of those. It will just jump into water. So when a person forgets Ishvara, immediately, how did I forget? Why did I forget? Oh, after so many years of sadhana, I have still forgotten. That's not the right approach. The right attitude or approach is immediately remembering Ishvara. Oh, I forgot Ishvara. No, I will remember. Immediately remembering Ishvara. So that remembering Ishvara or offering all activities onto Ishvara, that becomes very easy when we do activities at the physical plane or bodily actions, verbal actions and mental actions with respect to Ishvara. And now at the same time, when if we offer everything to Ishvara, that doesn't contradict, that doesn't go against our own blissful state. So when a person offers everything to Ishvara, that is Parama Premam. When a person offers everything to Ishvara, there will be a stage when a person has completely offered everything to Ishvara, his own self to Ishvara. It's also called Atma Nivedanam in Navavida Bhakti in Bhagavatam, the final step of the nine types of bhakti. So Atma Nivedanam, offering oneself to Ishvara, so when our offering actions will culminate in offering everything to Ishvara, which means Ishvara alone will remain. So that is the goal, and that definition, that's the ultimate definition of bhakti, trying to always offer everything to Ishvara. If we are not able to offer, if we think, oh, I can't offer this, I don't think this is right. My actions, like I am responsible for my actions, why should I offer it to Ishvara? That's not good. That's escapism. If we think that if we have such doubt, then we don't need to offer, just remember Ishvara. So Ishvara Smarana is enough. So Tadarpita Akila Acharata Narada says offering actions to Ishvara, but we can replace that with Ishvara Smarana. Again, Ishvara Smarana means not just Krishna Smarana. Krishna Smarana means tomorrow we will become Radha. And then like we will dress beautifully like Radha. And some other person will come and he will become Krishna. So the Krishna will be replaced by a local Krishna. So that is what would happen. Therefore, instead of that, you should remember that Ishvara is Advitiya Satyam. Ishvara is all-pervasive. Sarvavyapi. Ishvara is the only thing that is present. So Ishvara is all-pervasive. Ishvara Sarvam. Ishvara Mayam. So such an Ishvara, Ishvara who alone exists, Sarvam Ishvara Mayam, that Ishvara Smaranam. So Ishvara Smaranam is enough. So that is what Narada says. And that can, if we think, oh, Ishvara Smarana, it appears so simple, but I'm not able to do it. Oh, Ishvara Smarana, you say, all-pervasive Ishvara, this, that. No, it doesn't seem possible for me. Then, go back, trace our steps back to the previous sutras. Puja, Adishu, Anuragam. Okay, try out from all different planes. Puja, try doing puja, archana. Whether that creates an interest that helps us in remembering Ishvara. Oh no, I am not a puja type of person. I am more of katha type of person. Okay, fine, Bhagavatam. Well, listen to Bhagavatam, listen to stories of or glories of Ishvara. Again, glories of Sarvam Ishvara Mayam, such an Ishvara, not just Ishvara. If it is just Ishvara, then we will go to Vaikundam. And when we go to Vaikundam, if we are a girl, then there will be a big problem. Lakshmi will get angry. So Lakshmi will get angry. If Lakshmi gets angry, of course Vishnu has to get angry then. And then we will be expelled from there. So all that is not required. Therefore, Sarvam Ishvara Mayam Sachan Ishvara. Try listening to glories of Sachan Ishvara. Oh no, I'm not a glory listening person, because the moment I sit for Bhagavatam, tears come down my eyes. So I cannot listen. The next minute, I'm wiping my tears, so I cannot listen. Okay, then try out anything that There is an abstract anandam. Okay, I get anandam by reading. I get anandam by something else. I get anandam by shouting about Ishvara, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or like many other people used to shout about, oh, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shout it. If that might help. Okay, if that doesn't help, start preaching like I am doing. That might help. Really, that might help. So try anything that doesn't obstruct, that doesn't stop anandam, that helps us in experiencing anandam. At the same time, it has Ishvara Smarana. That is fine. So bhakti is explained by different bhakti or different acharyas or bhakti acharyas. They give different characteristics of bhakti. But as per Narada, Ishvara Smarana, and never forgetting. Okay, if there is a clause that if you forget, become restless, then we will say, oh, Narada says that Tad Vismarane Parama Vyakulata. Narada says, if you forget, become restless. Oh, then that's fine. I can forget and become restless. As long as I become restless, it's fine. So that is not, that is, the if that clause that if you forget Ishvara, then become restless, if that clause like is kind of making us forget Ishvara more, then just remove it. Ishvara Smarana as much as possible. At all times, Ishvara Smarana, that is real bhakti. So the characteristics or lakshana of bhakti is what? Bhakti in itself is supreme love when a person has merged onto Ishvara. That is bhakti swarupam. Nature of bhakti is a person has merged onto Ishvara, he becomes immortal, he becomes blissful. Lakshana, characteristics of bhakti, how can we know we are a bhakta or we are trying to become bhaktas? That is Ishvara Smarana. So Ishvara Smarana through many means or any means, whichever it is, whatever means we have, Ishvara Smarana, remembering that Sarvam Ishwaramayam, everything is Ishvara, that is what it defines or tells us as to whether we are bhaktas. So Amma as well as many other Mahatmas say as to how do I know, when people question them, that how do I know that I am realized or I have realized God? So the simple answer is when Ishvara Chinta is always there. So if Ishvara Chinta is always there, then such a person has merged on to Ishvara. Of course, a person who is contemplating on Ishvara, he becomes Ishvara. So this is where we can find fans, a very crazy fans kind of becoming so much identified with their fan that they themselves become the main person of whom they are fan. That's why we can see like people who are fans of Rajinikanth will wear such glass. They will use glass, their specs to do that gimmick that he does. So they do all those, like that happens everywhere. Like when Titanic got released, people were Leonardo DiCaprio fans. So DiCaprio fans were everywhere. They'll kind of dress like him or something of that sort. So that happens like when after Matrix got released, people started mimicking Neo and Trinity as well. So wearing dark specs, wearing dark coat, dark or black color pant, coat and all. So fans, like fan is a person who remembers the person or like the goal or whoever he is, the role model. So the more and more a person contemplates on the role model, he becomes identified with the role model. The difference between that and bhakti is that the difference are there in that in the fan, with the fan is never one with the role model. He just becomes identified. It's an illusion. Whereas in bhakti, our very nature is Ishvara. Therefore, the more we contemplate on it, it's not an illusion. We are under illusion, we get rid of the illusion. We realize that we are not this body, we are not part of this illusory world, but we are one with Ishvara. So Ishvara Smarana, the more and more a person does that, this bhakti lakshana, a person can find out or determine as to whether he has the bhakti lakshana. The more perfect the bhakti lakshana in a person, the more he is towards amritam, the more he is towards bliss, the more he is becoming a real bhakta. Real bhakta is Ishvara, so the more he becomes Ishvara. And oh, I don't want to become Ishvara. Okay, then if you don't want to become Ishvara, then you will not get Anandam. So a person who doesn't become Ishvara cannot get Anandam. Whether it is Shankaracharya or whether anybody else, he won't get Anandam. So no person can get Anandam unless he becomes one with Ishvara, because Ishvara alone is Ananda Swarupam. Everything else is limited. Everything else is in sorrow, everything else is in illusion. Therefore, becoming one with Ishvara alone can give us Anandam. And that bhakti where a person merges onto Ishvara can be achieved easily through finding out whether the lakshanas of bhakti, bhakti lakshanas are there. Bhakti lakshanas or bhakti lakshana of Ishvara smarana or bhakti lakshanas of the various ways or means by which a person can do Ishvara smarana. So it's very important to remember here that though it might appear that Narada is giving other acharyas views and then he is refuting them and giving his own view, a person can also give Sanskrit logic by explaining the Sanskrit words that Narada gives, but that will not help us at all. We just have to remember that all the characteristics that Narada is giving here, attributing it to different acharyas, all those are part of Narada's definition of Ishvara Smarana. Always having Ishvara Smarana, never being without it. And this is something which we can try out, like through puja, through katha, through any other means. And as we do that, as we continue doing Ishvara Smarana, Sarvam Ishvara Mayam Sachi Ishvara Smarana, we will find, we can experience ourselves that Anandam is day by day, we become more blissful. And people will start telling, oh, you are very happy. Why are you very happy? Like, it seems like you have a lot of sorrow, trouble in your life, but still you are very happy. How is this possible? So your face is glowing with happiness. How is this? Oh, so we can just smile and say, oh, that is Ishvara. That's got nothing to do with me. If you need anything, if you need to understand that, go and ask Ishvara. Oh, how can I go and ask Ishvara? Oh, that is very simple. Just contemplate on Ishvara. Haven't you heard? The more you contemplate on Brahma, Brahma will come in front. So do contemplation of Ishvara. And after that, you will not come to me. So that is the advantage there. We can just escape. Because when the other person, like when the questioner sees Ishvara, then he doesn't have anything else to ask. He'll not come back to us and ask, oh, I saw Ishvara, but he didn't explain to me. There's nothing to explain. Anandam alone will be there. So many times my sister has asked, how can, I want to see how two jnanis will interact. So the best way, or we generally see two jnanis interacting in the world quite often. So two kids, like when two kids interact, they are playing with each other, that is how jnanis would be interacting. They'll be so innocent. So we will be thinking, oh, when Amma meets Paramartha or Paramartha meets Tejomyanda, what will that be? Oh, will they talk about Advaita Siddhi? No, this Harivam sent me a Mayavada Darpanam. That is so good. Is it Moksha Siddhi? Come on, let's discuss it. They will not say anything like that. It's like two kids playing together. Individually, the kids might say, oh, mummy, what is this? Oh, mummy, what is that? And all those. But when two kids get together, like, the mothers will look and say, can you understand what they are doing? I don't know what they are doing. I don't know what they are talking. Do they have their own code language? So the code language, there is no code language, there is no talking at all, there is only bliss there. So that is how when two jnanis will meet. So once the questioner has found out Ishvara and got Anandam, then he will come to us, and like there will be only Anandam there, then what to talk? There will be no talking, there will only be Anandam. So that is the goal of life. The goal of life is not sending the questioner to Ishvara. The goal of life is trying to find out Ishvara ourselves and ever rejoicing in Anandam, or becoming a true Bhakta. And these Lakshanas will help us in trying to attain that supreme love that Narada spoke about in the initial sutras of the chapter. In the next few sutras, there are 5 more sutras. So there Narada tries to give examples as to why the definition of Ishvara Smarana at all times, and becoming restless when Ishvara is forgotten, that is the valid definition or true definition of bhakti. He explains that in the next 5 sutras, which we will see in the next day. Namaskar.